there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the Rowan County Judge Executive, Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, Leanne, and to inform the public of what the fiscal court's been up to for the last month.
The fiscal court has been busy for the last month, and the regular meeting of the court was earlier this week. A lot of things to talk about, and as we have for almost a year now, let's start out with talking about the pandemic. COVID numbers in Rowan County started going up at the beginning of the month, and we've kind of held steady on the number of new positive cases each day. It seems like there's always around the same number, and it's gone down a little bit here as of late, but we're still in the red zone. And earlier this week when you were at the meeting, you discussed how the number of people getting tested has actually gone down.
Yes, Leanne. Currently from the beginning in March, we've had 1,630 positive cases in Round County. From those, 1,469 have recovered. Unfortunately, we have had suffered 9 deaths here in a county. And to be honest with you, that number is probably about a week old. There'll probably be a couple more added to that here in the future, but we have to wait till the health department actually gives us the official notification that it was COVID related. Also, we've currently got 152 active cases, meaning the health department is actually following 152 positive cases in the county. And we are in the red zone, as you said. In the past 7 days, we track that. We've currently got 94 cases in the past 7 days. So it's a very big concern. And the big concern I have is that the testing numbers, I believe, have went down. We definitely need to stay in this game. We need to stay focused on the end of this. And we're going to have to get more testing. And I don't want the numbers to go up, but I want to know what's going on in the county so we can help make decisions in schools and those kind of things. And if we don't get a good random sampling of testing, we're not really going to know what's going on in the county. And if you just start testing the people that don't feel good and are positive, then that definitely runs your numbers off on the positive side. So we really don't have a good idea what's going on. But my concern is, you know, there's some vaccines out going around now and people's kind of letting their guard down a little bit. But it's not time to let the guard down. You know, the predictions from the CDC, it's looking pretty grim for the next couple months. And California and Texas and some of those states are suffering the same thing that we certainly do not want to. And that is doing care in the parking lots of some of those hospitals because they're overrun with COVID. And that hurts us all the way around because if it's a COVID patient in there, we can't put the heart attack in there. So we may have to treat the heart patient outside as well. But we're not there. St. Clair's done a wonderful job of managing that. I've worked with Mr. Lloyd real close. We have upped our game in transfers to move people when they can be moved. We've jumped on that and moved it to open a bed up for potentially someone that needs it worse. So it's an ongoing process, but I encourage everybody to continue to test. I encourage everyone to take the shot when it's available to them. And, there's been approximately 1,700 shots given in the county so far, and it will come your turn. It don't seem like it's ever going to get here, but it will. And when the numbers increase to the state, then our numbers will increase. And myself and the District Health Department and St. Clair is working hard to establish a local vaccine facility that will do mass vaccines, but it will be regional. And I say local, meaning in Round County, but it will attend to the folks in the region. So we're working on that. We work on that every day. And I know that's probably more information than people want to hear, but I just want them to know COVID is serious. It's still here. Don't let your guard down. Let's test and wear the mask and do the things we're supposed to do.
I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see even additional numbers go up because there's more contact coming into the county this week. Particularly, we have Round County School District back to some in-person hybrid learning, and then also Morehead State University classes began on Tuesday, and we can't help but think that numbers will continue to climb.
We've pretty well got all the wrinkles ironed out, if you will, over the last 9 to 10 months, and but, you know, St. Clair, again, expands their testing. They work with the community in the region, which is really good. They're very flexible on what they need to do, and I have a good relationship with them. I can call them and ask them to adjust hours, or they just on their own realize what they need to do. And we've got, I have to say, you know, we have a really good community relationship. I work very closely with the mayor, Dr. Morgan, you know, Russ Ward from MCTC, the president of MCTC, Mr. Lloyd. All of the key players in this, we work very closely together, constant communication. So that's the benefit to where we are over some of the other counties that don't have that ability to have that communication. So we're head and shoulders above some, and but it is because of the communication. So we're very flexible to do what we need to do for the county residents. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about restrictions. There's still a decreased capacity within restaurants and within different shopping places. There's still very much monitoring how many people are going in and out of buildings. Is there any idea of when those restrictions are going to go away, or has the governor said anything about easing restrictions more, or is it kind of still, are we still at a wait and see kind of point?
We're actually at a wait and see point. And if you listen to CDC, they expect the cases to really increase here the next couple months, hospitalization to go up. So I think it's a wait and see approach. I think, nobody's going to go out on a limb and say 45 days from now, we're going to lift the ban on restaurants or whatever, because you never know what's going to happen. This stuff changes on a daily basis. The case numbers change. So I think it's a wait and see. And when the decision makers, and it's not at my level, but the governor and above, when they see a level or a decline and they're confident it'll stay there, then I think they'll consider the restrictions. But right now, I don't think they will. It's just too up and down.
Moving into the agenda from the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week, there was a lot of discussion, and first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the report from EMS Director Danny Blevins. We talked, and you talked a little bit about the building that the county is working on to be a new EMS headquarters. There seems to be not a lot going on up there.
Well, we've actually got two projects going on. That's what's a little bit confusing. We are actually having a building built that will house the ambulances and the crews to sleep in. And that has to be, I've referred to it several times as a bulletproof vault, bomb shelter, and it pretty much is. So that's being built inside of the warehouse out there on 200 American Legion Way. And then also we are doing some modifications, putting some doorways, nothing big. We're putting some doorways in, doing some floor work in the existing office complex that Morehead State University used. So we've got two projects going on. The one, the remodeling or the upgrades in the existing office space is going very well. I expect that to be done here in probably a couple of weeks, maybe a little optimistic. So we may have to extend that a month, but that's really going to be good. We can get our administrative staff back into a location where we can do social distancing and get them back in the day work. And also the other building is where I'm kind of disappointed in. It's going very slow. I anticipated it to go quick. They anticipated it to go quick. It's undercover. There's no reason for weather, heat, snow, rain to hold you. We had some permitting issues to begin with, but it's still going slower than I want, and I have addressed that, so we'll see where we go from there.
Danny said that they were noticing some additional runs as of late for overdoses, and that's always a big concern within the county. I'm always kind of impressed that the community here is so aware of what's happening with our population that's dealing with addiction and recovery. It's more compassionate than a lot of the other communities in which I've lived in the past, and it's interesting to me how we approach it. But even at the point from the emergency medical services perspective, we're paying attention for how many runs that are happening for those particular things. And but that's upticking right now. Why? I mean, the pandemic has been difficult for everyone, but particularly the people dealing with addiction and recovery. They are not able to do their in-person meetings, and that's been really difficult for them. Do you think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing an uptick right now in overdose calls?
I really think it's a combination of everything, Leanne. I don't think there's one single thing you could put your finger on. I think the in-person counseling, I think, has probably has some to do with that. We're also in the winter months. You know, it's kind of gloomy, and they can't go out and do some things that they wanted to do. You know, around the holidays, and we just came through the holidays, are always a very depressing time for some folks, you know, that's missing their loved ones or for whatever reason. We watch this very carefully. Our, you know, Jimmy Hampton, Emergency Management Director, along with Danny Blevins, and we watch this and we pay attention to this. And they'll, you know, if they see something that they think's just a little bit out of the norm, they'll contact me and give me the numbers. And from there, we make a decision on whether we're going to, if we think it may be a bad batch, we may consider putting out an alert. But up to this point, you know, it's been kind of, there has been an increase in overdoses, not all related to heroin. Some are just the, you know, meth or whatever else they use. So it's something we constantly work on. The community realizes that these folks are our family, our neighbors, and our friends. These are, you know, these are not strangers doing this. These are the people that we talk to across the fence next door sometimes. So, yes, this community is very compassionate, and I think that's the reason they realize that everyone has been affected, every family has been affected by this, and they understand it. They get it.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, friends and neighbors. This is Grant Alden, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to a special two-hour memorial edition of my Field Notes show, 2 hours in which I seek to pay homage to artists we lost in 2020. So I'll be playing, among other folks, Billy Joe Shaver and Peter Green, Young Jesse, and of course, John Prine. I hope you'll join me Friday, January 22 at 8 p.m. and Saturday, January 23 at 3 for a special edition of Grant Alden's Field Notes.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Harry Clark, the judge executive here in Rowan County. Harry, thanks again for being here. We're talking a little bit about the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week. We did have to address some rumors about COVID that had to do with the jail, and jailer Wes Coldiron did speak with the court about how things were going down there.
Yes, he did. We, you know, I had a call over the weekend from, they were asking about the widespread outbreak of COVID in the jail, and I knew that we hadn't had any, and we, I'll knock on wood, and that could be my head. But Wes Coldarns did a terrific job, and his staff. There has been no positive cases in the inmate population in the Round County Detention Center. Now, there has been a couple employees. They were quickly identified, isolated, and that's been some time ago. So there's never been a COVID outbreak in Round County Detention Center, but apparently some lawyer found a new way to get his folks maybe a little bit of relief. And I guess they announced that in court that the Round County Detention Center had a lot of COVID in it, and he didn't want his inmate to go in there. So I think that's kind of where it got started. I don't know, but it went through the judges circuit, not the county judges, but the judicial judges and through the attorneys. And so anyway, we answered that question over the weekend. Wes answered it very clear yesterday. And we hope that continues, but there has been no cases of COVID positive cases in the Round County Detention Center.
It seems like everyone's constantly trying to figure out where it is and pinpoint it. And it's, the thing is, COVID is kind of everywhere, and everybody needs to behave as if everyone they interact with could possibly be a COVID carrier, even if that person's not sick. It is nice to see that there are a lot of people who are following the CDC guidelines in order to keep everyone safe. We went through a couple things with the agenda. One thing that wasn't technically on the agenda, but we was discussed, the state actually had a mandate that came down recently with special districts tax increases or changes, I guess, are now going to be brought to the fiscal court for approval. So each community can decide whether or not they have a special tax districts for fire, for the library, for the school. And now those are usually decided by the governing body of those individual groups. But now that has changed, and the fiscal court now needs to be involved, correct?
That is correct. They changed the law on us, and our taxes, the way they're levied currently, the school district, health department, all those folks, they put their own tax on. The fiscal court does not approve or disapprove it. They either, they can accept it or not accept it, but it doesn't matter. It became a tax anyway. So that law changed the beginning, the first day of January this year. And there's only three particular boards that are exempt from meeting the fiscal court and getting it approved. And that's an air board established operating under KRS 183.132. And that would not apply to us because we don't have any tax at the airport board, a fire protection district, which does not apply to Round County, nor an ambulance taxing district. We don't have any of those. So essentially the other government entities that we consider government, special purpose government, they will come bring their stuff to fiscal court, and we'll have to act on it, either approve it, disapprove it, do nothing. We can still take no action, which means their recommendation goes into effect. It's just a little change. I think there'll certainly be some wrinkles in it, but hopefully we can get them ironed out and get it figured out and continue to do what we need to do.
And speaking of taxes, the fiscal court also discussed a resolution approving the granting of local incentives to AppHarvest. And that organization actually shipped out their first harvest this week and sent tomatoes into stores. But how does that affect the county? I know that it was a long time ago when we talked about incentives for them when they first discussed coming into the community. So now that they actually are growing and shipping out tomatoes, how does it impact taxpayers here?
Well, it's a great enterprise. Those folks have really done a really good job promoting this. It's a wonderful for us. They brought 300 jobs to the county. They brought it's about $115 million investment in Round County in the building itself. And so back when they were first trying to establish here in Round County, we agreed to allow them in order to install water and sewer, and we agreed to allow them to pay for that up front, and then we would give them a payroll and occupational tax break until that specific amount was paid back. It was around $380,000. We had pre-approved up to $400,000, so we got a little cheaper than we thought, which was good. So we will allow them to retain 0.75% of the occupational payroll and occupational tax until that debt is repaid. And, it just depends on the number of employees and all those kind of things. But we project probably about 6 to 7 years it should be paid off. It was a great investment for the taxpayers to do that, to incentivize that in order to get those folks what they needed in water and sewer. So it's really good. I think everybody here in the county should be excited that those first Tomatoes was shipped out yesterday. I've been sending pictures of them on the internet and on Facebook. I hadn't tasted one yet, but from the rumor I get, that they're excellent tasting tomatoes, and it's just a huge win for us. You see their logo, App Harvest, on it. I believe they're also said they're made in Kentucky. So it's really it's just good for us, good for Eastern Kentucky, and we should cheer them on and support them every way that we can.
The photographs online did look awfully tasty. I'll be excited to try them myself. There was some discussion about the Arts Promotion Foundation. I missed that part of the conversation. I had to take a call at that time. So tell me a little bit about what happened there.
The Arts Foundation, what I have proposed is to do away with the Arts Foundation Board. It's been in place since they actually converted the into an art center from the courthouse. I was on it for a number of years when I was a magistrate, and I've been associated with the arts. I'm a big supporter of the arts. And I think what we need to do is the Arts Foundation at one time was responsible for all the upkeep of the building. The director of the Arts Center reported to them. They had a huge, huge task to raise funds and do everything. Well, that's not the case now. We've partnered with Round County Moorhead Tourism, and it's been working very well. It's been working very well for the last 2 years. And what I recommend is we do away with the Arts Foundation Board, go to a council, that we a committee, so that we can still maintain a 501c status, and also be able to target whatever event they want. If you've got a committee, then you'll be able to pick a committee with the expertise to be able to do the particular thing that you're trying to promote and host. With the board, it was a little difficult to do that because, you know, it's a mix of city council, magistrates, and those kind of things that don't really have art. At least I know when I was a magistrate there, I certainly had no art ability. So it just gives you a wider range of folks to choose from, and it's worked very well. So we put that out. I want to get feedback from the art community and the Theater Guild as well, because they use that facility. It won't affect any of that. And so we put it out and get some feedback, and we'll make that decision next fiscal court.
The fiscal court did make a decision on some new road equipment, though. That's going to be coming up soon.
Well, they did. You know, we do a lot of work in this county. Road departments really does a great job. All the departments do a great job. I better mention that. But they use this equipment quite a bit. So, our mowing tractor, it's got a lot of age on it, a lot of use on it. So the court decided we might want to replace that before the grass starts growing and the weed starts coming. So they have authorized me to go out for bids or to get some government contract pricing for a new mowing tractor. Also a skid steer. We've agreed that we want to lease a skid steer, and that will a bobcat, if for people that really don't know what a skid steer is, but it's going to be a lot of benefit to us in a lot of different ways. It's a lot more maneuverable, and it just has a lot of benefits to it. And we elected to lease it for 3 years because we think it has all those benefits, but we want to know. We don't want to spend all that money on it and it not be exactly what we want. So this is first for us. So we're going to lease it for 3 years, and if we don't like it, we'll send it back. And if we like it, we'll just exercise the option to purchase after lease. We also got a trailer that we keep patching on. So they want me to get some prices on some trailers. And we had a Cat excavator, which has been around since, when I was a magistrate. We actually bought it off of a lease. And it's got a lot of wear underneath. So we're going to replace the undercarriage under it. So it's a lot of things go on in the road department, and they do a lot of things, so their equipment wears out, and we're going to make sure that they have the tools they need to go to work with.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Round County Judge Executive Harry Clark, I really appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thank you, Leanne, for having us, and it's always a pleasure to be here to keep folks informed. And again, please, you know, the battle is not over with COVID. For all those folks listening, please wear your mask, social distance, do the things you're supposed to do, get your testing done. And when that shot comes, don't hesitate. I've had my shot, didn't hurt at all. Just step up there and take your shot, and we'll get through this.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.